The gospel lesson today will be presented as a series of frozen scenes or tableau. We ask for your help in this way. When you hear this tone, please close your eyes, bow your heads, and listen as part of the text is read. When you hear the tone a second time, open your eyes to view the scene. When you hear the bell a third time, again close your eyes and listen as more of the story is told, and continue this way through the reading. Each time you hear scripture, your head should be bowed and your eyes closed. When you hear a bell, you will either close your eyes to listen or open your eyes to view the scene. Please close your eyes. A reading from Mark chapter 6. Jesus and the apostles went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many of them saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send the people away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 silver coins worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and gave thanks to God. Then Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Jesus sent the disciples two by two. He told them, "Go out into the countryside. You can wear your sandals, you can take the clothes that are on your back, but do not take any food. Do not take any money. Do not take any luggage. Go out. Cast demons out of those who are afflicted. Cure the sick. And tell people the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near." And so the disciples went two by two out into the Galilee region. All around the Sea of Galilee, they proclaimed the news. And after many days, they came back. They were excited to tell Jesus what had happened, but they were also fatigued and hungry. And when Jesus saw them, and he saw that the crowds were moving in and out, and there was no time for them to even eat, there was no time for them to talk to him, he said, "Come away with me. Let's get on this boat. And we will go to a deserted place so that you can rest." That's the setting for the story that we have today. Jesus had, in compassion, called his disciples together, gotten them onto a boat, and said, "Come with me, and we will rest." But as we've seen in this scripture portrayal, rest was not to come. Today, we talk about Jesus' lessons in serving. Please pray with me. Lord, we ask that as Scripture has come to life, it might come to life in our own lives. Let our hearts be open, our minds to your teaching as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, they saw The people on the shore saw the disciples and Jesus leave in a boat, and it wasn't going to be that easy. Because as the boat went along the shore, those who wanted to talk with Jesus, they just followed along with the boat. So that when the boat again came to a landing, there were the crowds waiting for them. We hear in the scriptures that Jesus got out of the boat. It's surprising. Maybe not that surprising that the disciples, we don't hear any details about them getting out. And I have this understanding. I imagine that the disciples hesitated. Yeah, Jesus got out of the boat and then suddenly the crowds were surrounding him and he began to teach. But the disciples might have hung back and said, "Oh, gee, we thought we were going to have some rest. You said we would be away from these people and yet here they are again." And perhaps they were a little slow getting out of the boat as Jesus healed and taught and cared for the people. Finally, they climbed out and the real lessons for the disciples began. As we look at this text, we might think about what it means to live within the reign of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. This is happening on the hillside in this story from Mark 6. If we're to learn what it means to live as the kingdom people, we might look at the lessons the disciples learned that day, and I want to share a few with you. The first thing that they learned was that it is important in service to offer compassion. Jesus must have known they were tired, and perhaps he was tired as well and wanted a little downtime. Have you been in that place, maybe at the end of a busy week or at the end of a few days of extremely hectic schedules, where you just say, "I don't want to do anything today. I want to putt around the house and maybe fix this or that, or maybe just watch a movie. Maybe I just want to read the paper and the mail that's piled up. I just don't want to be busy today." The disciples were yearning for that, and Jesus did something else. He got out of the boat and immediately began to teach. And he saw, it says in the scripture, he saw a people that were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. It didn't matter that it wasn't comfortable. It didn't matter that it wasn't expedient. It didn't matter that it interrupted his goal to get the rest for his disciples. He had compassion on them. And the disciples learned that in the midst of service, sometimes we have to take the time to do it, even in our hectic schedules. We're called to stop and to go another way. I was thinking about Liberian greetings this week. It came to mind because they were talking in a news broadcast about the Liberian people have been kind of staying away from each other because of the spread of Ebola, the Ebola virus, and so they haven't been shaking hands. And I've had the opportunity to serve on a mission team in Liberia, and I remember that the incredibly elaborate handshake in Liberia. It like begins like a normal handshake, but there are some other moves that you do with your hands, and when your hands withdraw, you actually kind of snap fingers, and so there's this snapping sound, and then you kind of draw your hand back slowly. It kind of takes time. You see people coming at you like, "Oh my gosh, I got to do this thing again," and you do this, and it's a difficult thing to do, and it took me a long time to learn it, and I've unlearned it by now. But the other thing was interesting about Liberian greetings is here, just the difference. Here, a standard thing we ask is, "How are you?" Right? I've heard people ask me that this morning. Have you? "How are you?" And I mean, really, what are we supposed to say? Are we supposed to really tell them? No. You're supposed to say, "I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you?" Fine. It's what you do, and then you get on with the business. It's just kind of this format. In the Liberian tradition, they will ask, "How's your family?" And they're serious about it. They want to know. I mean, I was over there, and the person who prepared us for this mission trip, he said, get a little photo album and take pictures of your family with you because they're going to want to know. Like, okay. And so, how's your family? Well, here's my mom, here are my brothers and my sister. And they will tell you about their family. And it's like you have to go through this whole ritual with the handshake and the families. And then finally, you can get to what you want to talk about. And it was, for me, a lesson in resting in that moment. Also a lesson in really hearing what people had to say about what was happening in their lives and with the people who were important to them. That's what compassion is sometimes. Compassion isn't something that we can just do in caring for someone in the moment and then just say, well, now I got to get on. But compassion maybe stops us and sends us in a different way. And so for serving, compassion is necessary and not always something that's easy and something that first comes to us to practice. The next thing that the disciples learn is that you need to be open to God's call to serve. Now I feel sorry for the disciples, but because they get a kind of a bad name sometimes in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Mark, because they never get it. But the disciples go up to Jesus and they say, it's getting late, sun's going to go down, these people have not eaten, they need to go, you know, somewhere. The thing is that they were just practicing what Jesus did. They were tired. They were hungry. Jesus said, come away with me. Let's get on a boat. Let's go get some rest. So they're showing compassion, aren't they, by saying, let these people go and have some place to eat. And what Jesus says to them must have been quite dismaying. He says to them, you give them something to eat. What? I mean, the response is, that would take 8 months of a man's wages, 200 denarii. That's how much it would take. We can't do that. The thing is that sometimes we need to be open to God's call, again, even when it surprises us, and even when we say, how in the world can we do this? I was looking through United Methodist Women's news items this week and preparing for this United Methodist Women's Sunday, and I came across this letter that had been written by Beatrice Fofana, who is the national coordinator for the United Methodist Women in Sierra Leone. Now, we know that Sierra Leone, if you've been following the news, has been greatly affected by the Ebola virus. In fact, this last week, there were 3 days when people were not allowed to come out of their homes. And so Fofana wrote to all of the United Methodist women to tell the story of what they've decided to do. They've decided that from this point on, for the rest of 2014, they're not going to have any United Methodist Women events. They're canceling at the local, at the district level, and at the conference level, all United Methodist Women events. And they're taking the money that would have been spent for travel and for food and for whatever those events cost, and they are using it to feed women and children in need. Because two things are happening. Primarily, women are affected by the infection because they are the primary caretakers of family members. And second, many women have incomes that help raise the household, and those incomes are being stopped, and people are going hungry, especially in the worst affected areas. And so they have changed course from what they decided. This is what Fofana wrote. She said, we cannot cover all the districts of our conference because of our limited funds, but we believe that this is a start and that God will make a way where there is none. Those women in Sierra Leone are open in this present moment to God's call upon their life to sacrifice, to do something different, so that God's will, God's glory, will be there. Another thing that must have surprised the disciples, but it's important for us to know about serving, and I'm not sure that you caught this or remember this about this particular story. When Jesus says, you give them something to eat, and the disciples say, what are we supposed to do? Go out and buy it. Jesus asked this question, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And then the next part of the verse says, when they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Before they even knew how much they had, they said, can't be done. Can't be done. They hadn't taken stock at all in what was available to them. Now, I would imagine that if I gave everyone a piece of paper right now and a pen, and I asked you to write down your skills, you might be able to write down one or two. If I asked you for your talents, you might be able to write down a few things you're talented at, that you have gifts in. And you might look at that and say, well, those are just great. You know, those are good things to have. But what Jesus called the disciples to do is say, okay, just check on what you have, and we're going to work with it. Now, you may say to yourself, well, I mean, I can do some things. I can pound a nail. I can... I could paint a wall. I'm good at organizing stuff. I can you tell me what you want built. I can draw a plan for you, or I can figure out costs, and I can analyze and get things situated that way. You know, it's amazing. You might say, well, what kind of skills would you need to be in worship? You might say, well, you got to be either a singer, or you have to be able to speak publicly, and that's pretty much what you would need. But we've got technical people back at the boards that is a skill that they do. We have people who've developed the slides and the publications that are in front of you. In addition to that, we have ushers and greeters, you know, those friendly people. In addition to that, every week someone has to count the money, the offering, and so we have teams that are doing that. We have a table for coffee hour that's out there for you to enjoy, and food, and all of these things take many skills that come together. Now, my mother is not going to ever be a greeter, and she is not one for small talk, and she's not that outgoing. I take after my father, and she's not a real talker in public. But I'll tell you, she can wash a pan. And so when her church has harvest dinners and dinners in the summer, the average attendance at her church is 25. They know that she will be standing at the sink, and they will bring the dirtiest, worst stuff to her, and all evening long she will wash pans. That is her job, that is her calling, and she does it well. Now, you might say the people who really make the difference at one of those kinds of dinners are the people who can cook or the people who serve with a smile, but I would say that every single one of those skills are used and are necessary. All of us have skills and talents, and when God calls us, we might say we can't do that, but there are things that we can rise to, and I'll tell you the last lesson that these disciples learned, and that was that we need to expect abundance when we serve. And so what happened was Jesus took the food, you remember those loaves and fishes, and he blessed and broke them. He gave them to the disciples and said, you go and you serve this to the people. 5,000 men, which means not including women and children, so thousands of people will be served. But he did it through the disciples. You will do this and expect abundance. Again and again, I have seen abundance in the name of Jesus Christ, where people thought things couldn't be done, but they're done because we can do it together as people of Christ using our skills and talents. In this congregation, I remember it was last year, we called on the congregation, we said this, we've got a preschool here, we'd like to offer some kids that would be able to afford this the opportunity to come to preschool, and this is like one of the best things you can give if you want to change the world, because you will change a child's life through their entire lives by a preschool. And this church, like, boom, that day gave more than enough money for scholarships. It was amazing. This church, again and again, has these stunning moments of abundance beyond what we can imagine. Again this year, we asked, this is actually the last Sunday for this, again this year we said, let's pay a 13th payment on our mortgage. Let's just do it. And so our mortgage is $8,700 a month. We have received nearly $13,000. Let's just do it. And since we've been doing that every year and paying a little bit more on our mortgage every month, we have saved, get ready for this, we have saved $100,000 in principal. Isn't that amazing? Or in interest. And we've cut nearly 24 months off the mortgage. It is amazing what abundance could do. And I could even just talk about cookies. On Thursday, I had the opportunity to pray with the men who are being sent into mission for the Appalachia Service Project before they left. They have spent 2 days working hard in Kentucky to finish getting some homes ready for the winter. They're on their drive back right now. God bless them. And those men stood with me, and they prayed with me. We prayed for that mission before they left, and I want to tell you, I watched them get in their cars, and they all had these Ziploc bags full of cookies. I don't know where they came from, but there was an abundance of fuel for their mission. And I'll tell you another thing with cookies. The United Methodist Women get together in December, and they just bring all these cookies together, and they put them in these beautiful packages, and they're sent out to those who are struggling in December, our shut-ins, our people in nursing homes. They get these beautiful gifts, and there are more than enough so that we take the rest of those cookies and we put them in containers. And if you're here on Christmas Eve, you might have even done this yourself, you can get one of those containers and take them out to people who have to work on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The abundance just keeps on coming. When we join together, it is amazing what happens. Can you imagine the stories that the disciples had after that meeting? That they already had stories of going out and curing the sick and letting people know the news that the kingdom of God had drawn near. But in that moment, as Jesus passed out the fish and the loaves, gave them to them and said, "You go and take this to the people to eat," they had a story of serving with compassion. They could talk about how they didn't even know what would happen when God called them to serve, that they took stock of what they had, and then from that little that they had, there was incredible abundance. I want to tell you that can be the story of our lives individually as servants of Jesus Christ, and it is the story of this church. Praise be to God that we understand that we live in God's reign. Amen.
Gracious and loving God, you have laid your hands on us here this day and throughout our lives. We have been blessed by your Spirit surrounding and supporting us. And sometimes, Lord, like the disciples, we're a little slow to respond. We're a little more prone to want the rest and the back room and to stay away from the shining lights. But you call us to have compassion on those around us. You call us to open our eyes and to follow you. And so, Lord, we ask this day that you might build up our courage. We know, Lord, we know that we are gifted. We know that there is not a person in this place today that has not been touched by your Holy Spirit, that does not have something to offer this church, this community, people of this world. And we celebrate that abundance, God. We celebrate the way that you have blessed us, and we ask that we might have the eyes to see where you would have us go. There are places in this world, Lord, where your Spirit needs to shine brightly in our homes, in this community of Brighton, Livingston County, throughout all the world. Help us to see our giftedness and to see where it is that you have called us. Lord, it is only with your spirit and your strength that we have the courage to ask these things and the courage, Lord, to open our hearts now and our ears as we take a moment to hear once again the call that you have placed in each of us. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice in this time. We are grateful this day for the reminder that while we each stand as individuals, Lord, we are part of this congregation, this family of faith. Our brothers and sisters serve with us, and together we can build the kingdom. Together we can answer your call in our lives in a way that will change ourselves and all those around us. As together we offer the prayer that all our sisters and brothers in faith pray with us this day: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.